It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up later on Central Time, we'll look at new data that shows a backlog in untested rape kits in Milwaukee and across Wisconsin.
In his State of Education address last month, Wisconsin School Superintendent Tony Evers focused on laying out a plan for closing Wisconsin's achievement gap between white and minority students in the state.
Wisconsin has the widest achievement gap of any state in the country between black and white students. Black students drop out of Wisconsin schools at a rate of 1 in 3, and Hispanic and Native American students at a rate of 1 in 4.
According to Evers, part of the solution can be ensuring that teachers are familiar with their students' cultures. For example, classrooms in urban Wisconsin that have white middle-class teachers paired with poor minority students could suffer from a cultural divide.
The University of Wisconsin's Institute for Urban Education is trying to bridge those differences by training teachers from around the state how to lead culturally conscious classrooms in the Milwaukee Public School District. Tracy Nix is director of the Institute for Urban Education. She joins us from our studio in Milwaukee. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
What's the mission of the Institute for Urban Education?
The mission of the Institute is to create quality educators for our Milwaukee Public Schools system. So we really strive to create culturally responsive teachers, and we strive to create teachers that are not only culturally responsive but conscious of the environment and the students that they teach in the classroom. So that's part of our mission, and also our mission is to provide professional development for Milwaukee Public Schools teachers and teachers in the surrounding environment that are interested in urban education, and to also promote research in urban education across the state.
Well, as we mentioned, Superintendent Evers laid out a plan to try to address the state's achievement gap. How important a part of that, solving that achievement gap problem, is this kind of education for teachers and bridging the culture gap that you're talking about?
I think that goal, first of all, is very, very important. And the Institute, we strive to also bridge that achievement gap. And we do that by ensuring that when our teachers come to the Institute, and let me just first just give a little background so everybody understands when I talk about our teachers through the Institute for Urban Ed, our teachers come from across the state of Wisconsin. So we have teachers that volunteer to be a part of our program, and they may come from Madison or La Crosse or Stout. And these student teachers, they choose to be in Milwaukee and learn about urban education. And so when they come to the Institute, they come through our program and they attend a seminar that we have once a week. And through that seminar is when we really talk to them about urban education and bridging that gap. And the first place we start is looking at their own cultural biases, you know, and getting them to understand or looking at why they want to teach in urban education. And so our goal in bridging that gap is helping these teachers understand the purpose of culturally responsive teaching, how it benefits students, and the purpose of knowing your students and the community in which you teach.
You know, teaching math is teaching math. The numbers are the same no matter who I'm teaching it to. How can these cultural differences get in the way of that kind of basic teaching?
You know, understanding the content is great. We understand that basic math concepts are the same, but how you teach those math concepts is where cultural diversity or cultural responsiveness comes into play. So while you may be teaching the content 1 + 1 = 2, you have to look at every student's learning style. And while you may have a student A, who's able to catch on to the concept easily, you may have student B who may need the instruction differentiated, or you may have another student who may not be able to learn in the traditional type of teaching setting. So when I talk about cultural responsive education, it's more than just understanding the content in what you teach. It is how you teach it and understanding the learning styles of your students so you can understand how best to teach them.
And Superintendent Evers gave specifically the example of, you know, a white middle class teacher, maybe from a suburb or an outstate part of Wisconsin, in a largely, say, African American lower income classroom. So what kind of teaching differences, what kind of learning differences might we come across in that specific situation?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because most of our teachers, 99% of them are Caucasian teachers, and they do come from upper middle class, socioeconomic status, from the suburb. And so when a lot of our teachers, not all of them, but some of them come in with what we call deficit thinking. And it doesn't have anything to do with them caring about the kids. It's just this thinking when they come in that the students that are in the urban setting, they need help, or something is wrong with them because they're not learning in a way that they're used to seeing kids learn, or they're not learning in a way that they have been taught themselves growing up. So when you have a teacher that comes in and has been raised in a particular setting, middle class setting, a white middle class setting, and they come into an urban education setting, they sometimes have biases, they have stereotypes. And when you try to teach a child that does not look like you, sometimes those stereotypes or those biases can come across in your teaching. And as a result of that, some teachers can have lower expectations for their students. So that is really a reason why teachers need to be need to understand cultural differences and before they even go into the classroom.
Can there be differences as fundamental as just the way we talk in some parts of Wisconsin versus the language that kids might use in a classroom in a different part of the state?
Absolutely. I had a teacher last year who was telling me, as I went back to talk to her to check on her, see how she was doing, and she was telling me how the transition, and she now works in MPS, and she said one of the things she had to learn was the language of the students. And part of it is cultural, then part of it is this generational. And so she said she just had to learn some of the slang, some of the terms, and she had to learn how the students communicated with each other. And the purpose of learning that was so she could relate to the students. And she said she wasn't able to really feel like she effectively could teach until she could relate to the students. And part of that was understanding the students' language. And that's just not in the urban ed. That's just, I think, across the board, students, you know, kids nowadays have a lot of different language than when I was growing up. So
we're talking to Tracy Nix. She's director of the University of Wisconsin Institute for Urban Education, talking about getting past cultural differences between teachers and students. We'll get into topics like parental involvement coming up in a little bit. The Institute focuses on training teachers to deal with things like cultural differences in their classrooms.
We're back with Tracy Nix, director of the University of Wisconsin Institute for Urban Education. The institute focuses on training teachers to work with cultural differences in their classrooms.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you're a teacher, have you ever been in a position where you felt like there was just a cultural gap between you and your students? You're speaking a different language, not getting what you each needed from each other. Or on the flip side, as a student or maybe a parent, have you ever felt like the classroom was not an inviting place given your cultural background? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Tracy, I had mentioned I wanted to get into the issue of parental involvement. Is that something you work on in training teachers from around the state working in Milwaukee Public Schools?
Yes, we do. We spend a great deal of time on it. In fact, because I don't want to say this, it's just one of those issues that we really have to look at. We have the students look at their perspectives. So if you are a teacher or a student teacher, I would say, and you have the expectation because of your own background and your own experience that parents should be highly involved in the school and that they should be visible at the school, you're going to take that expectation into the classroom setting that you're in. Well, in the urban setting, sometimes you may find that parent involvement is not as You may not see the parent involvement as active as you might see maybe in the suburb. It doesn't mean that the parents don't care, and it doesn't mean that they're not involved. But that's a lot of time the attitude that the students take on. They think if they don't see the parent every day, or if the parents aren't as visible as they would like for them to be, that the parents don't care. But we teach them that that is not the case at all. A lot of times in the urban core, we're dealing with parents with more than one job. We're dealing with kids that are being raised by grandparents who may not be able to make it up to the school as often as they would like to. And we're also dealing with parent involvement in the non-traditional sense. Our parents that are with our students in the urban core, their parents are just involved with their students just like any other parent, but it just may look different. It's a lot of involvement at home. It may be a lot of involvement within the family. So what we try to teach our teachers as they work with students is you've got to think outside of the box. Just because you don't see a parent as much as you would like to doesn't mean they're not involved, doesn't mean that they don't care. You know, we understand that what the research says about parent involvement, the more parent involvement, increased student outcomes. But we tell our teachers, you got to think of other ways, non-traditional ways that you might be able to get parents to respond to you and to get them involved. And don't give up so easily. If they don't come to a conference, doesn't mean they don't care. Just got to find a way to contact them. It may be going through a sibling or aunt or uncle or someone in the community who works in the school. But we constantly work on don't give up on our parents. When I say our parents, I'm referring to these parents who have children in urban core.
I wanted to ask about your personal experience. Mm-hmm. I understand you've worked in public education in Chicago, Kansas City, is that right?
Yes.
So what's been your experience with dealing with these issues, cultural diversity issues in the classroom?
Oh, my goodness. When Chicago was the first teaching experience that I had when I graduated, I was born and raised in Kansas City, but when I graduated, I moved to Chicago. And I taught on the West Side, and I had to deal with cultural differences, and it didn't have anything to do with race. I grew up in a middle class, socioeconomic status. And so when I went and I taught in this school in inner city Chicago, I did not see the resources that I thought I would see, or the resources in the schools that I was used to seeing as I grew up. And so this was years ago. I mean, I'm not old or anything, but this was a few years back. And I'm not sure how different it is now. But some of the resources it wasn't there. Books. We didn't have a lot of books. And I remember constantly every week going to the library, checking out books so my students could have books to read in their classroom. And I had the same issues with parent involvement. It was an initial shock to me. I was like, well, where are the parents? And the parents were there. I just had to go really to them. I did home visits. I found siblings. I found cousins, aunts. I found neighbors who knew the parents of the students in my classroom, and I made it a point to make sure I made contact with all of my parents in that school year. It may not have been the first month of school. It could have been 3 or 4 months, but I made sure that I made contact with that family so they knew that I cared about their children. And as a result, the more parents saw that I was trying to contact them, and the more they saw that I cared about their child and their learning, the more I saw them at the school, the more visible they became. And so it was about building relationships with the parents, knowing the community, and understanding the lives that our students live. A lot of times when my students came in, before we can even address any of the curriculum, we just had to talk about what happened to you on your way to school. We had to talk about how was that walk to school. Some students were afraid to walk to school. I had to make sure that my students ate. Some students got to school late and they missed the morning breakfast. So I kept snacks in my room for the students. I had to make sure that these basic needs were met before we even can start teaching reading or math. Because if a child is hungry, they're less likely to listen to you trying to teach reading because their stomach is growling. So I had to deal with not having some of the resources that I needed. I spent a lot of money my first few years of teaching. I spent a lot of my own money buying crayons, markers, and pencils, just supplies for the classrooms. And I know teachers today who still do that, mm-hmm. you know. And some of our teachers that come through our program, you know, they're shocked. They say, well, some of our students come to school and they don't have pencils and pens. I say, yeah, so... You know,
Tracy, we'll have to leave it there for now. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you so much.
That was Tracy Nix. She's director of the University of Wisconsin Institute for Urban Education. The institute focuses on training teachers from around Wisconsin to work from students from different cultures in their classrooms.